You're listening to News New Mexico, where our business is New Mexico's business.
Launch Control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
Hold on to your lug nuts. It's time for an overhaul.
Turn it up, son.
I'm your huckleberry.
I don't give jobs. I hire men. You won't give me anything, and I won't give you anything.
Collision, sir.
Whoa, whoa, relax. We're not even moving.
There's no crying in baseball.
We are News New Mexico for Tuesday, October 11th, 2011. Jim Spence is here. I'm Michael Swickard. We have Jerry Harden as our producer and director. The website, newsnm.com. If you have small kids at home, read to them 20 minutes each day. Quote for the hour. Are you ready, Jim?
Man, I can't wait.
A celebrity works so hard to become well-known and then wears dark glasses to avoid being seen. Now, what's wrong with that picture? I don't know. We got Heath Houselman in studio. He has nmpolitics.net. And on the newsmaker line, we have Dennis Quintai, District 57, isn't it, Dennis?
Yes, sir. At least it is as of this morning.
So we just call you Heinz, huh?
I've been out of state for a couple of days visiting kids and grandkids, so who knows what's going on.
So, Representative, looking at the redistricting plan, it looks like Representative Dennis Quintai's political career could become an endangered species.
that might not be a bad thing for some people, you know. There's some folks out there don't love me. I just can't get over that.
So did we introduce Heath in the studio?
We did.
We did. Okay, good.
Hey, Representative Quintai, it sounds like you are, if the courts pick up the redistricting plan that was approved, you or someone else from Roswell is going to have to bow out.
Well, or we run against each other. And the problem is, Heath, they have me paired up with Bob Woolley, who is an incredibly nice man. I mean, this guy is so nice. Everybody loves him.
Oh, like the mud's starting to fly already. Look out.
Well, now, Dennis Quintai, you can always run on the Senate side, you know.
Yeah. Well, it depends on what you know. There, one plan's got me in Stuart Ingalls' district, and Stuart's been in the Senate since this was a state, I think. I'm not entirely sure about that. He's been there a while, and Stuart is a character. Oh my golly, he is just a stinker. But anyway, no, we in all seriousness, it's in the hands of the courts. We're gonna have to wait and see.
You don't want to be in the PRC or anything.
I don't have a criminal record. I don't think I'm qualified.
not wanting to run against Senator Adair.
No, they've got me moved into. Depending on how it goes, I could end up in Rod's district, but a lot of people have kind of egged me on since where I started thinking about where I started. But I really, all kidding aside, I think the House is an interesting place. I mean, I really do. I'm not happy about the tyranny or the, how should we say, the power concentration in the hands of the Speaker. I've kind of raised a stink about that a little bit. But I still think there's a lot to be said for the House. I mean, we're responsive to the people every 2 years. I believe in that concept. I mean, I put myself out there, and if people don't like me, they should vote against me.
Now, Representative, we had you back in February, and I asked you why, when the Republicans had the chance to put Joseph Cervantes in as a Speaker of the House, and you took the Fifth Amendment on that question. So, but I want to shift gears here. You wrote a column that was posted on one of our very favorite websites, nmpolitics.net. And I actually say that even when Heath is not here. But talk a little bit about going on the offensive with the folks who promote the endangered species list and all the implications for it for economics.
Well, first let me begin by thanking Heath for bringing it. And I want to thank Heath. He's got an impressive website, and I like that. I try to get on it every day to look at it.
We do too.
He does a great job, and I really
Thanks.
Do like
thank
Heath.
You.
I appreciate what you do because that's necessary.
You know, he is doing fundraising right now. You can always write him a check.
Oh, right, though. Remember, Quintai, Woolley, okay. But this is a forum for the public debate. And I glanced this morning, I got like 9 comments. Most people don't like what I have to say. But the premise of the op-ed came out of my experiences this summer when I was looking at the sand dune lizard or the dune sagebrush lizard listing effort. And I was involved in that big project we've talked about and I won't bore people with. But the inherent issue I came away with is what I call the lack of confrontation. Maybe there's a better way to put it, but what I believe in is a clash of ideas, all right? I put forward something, somebody else puts forward another idea, and if these ideas are truly valid, they'll withstand the intense heat of criticism. And if they can't, then they're not valid. So if somebody puts forward a premise, there's got to be a public intense debate. Now, the decision-making has got to be ultimately by someone independent. Like in the criminal system, we got judges who are independent. Although Keith has done, quick aside here, incredibly valuable work on this whole issue of the judiciary in Los Angeles.
Well, he's not sick. You don't have to say nice things about him.
No, I mean it. I think he's done a great thing. Hey, but anyway, but we have what are called administrative law judges to handle all kinds of things like water issues or Social Security appeals. Are they perfect? Absolutely not. But and the analogy I use in my op-ed is right now the head of the Fish and Wildlife Service decides whether or not a species is to be listed. That's the same agency that writes up the proposal to list it. And the analogy I used in the op-ed is that when I was chief of police, if my detectives had written an affidavit for an arrest warrant, and then I, as chief, had held the preliminary hearing. Inherent conflict. We don't need that. We need confrontation. We need cross-examination. We need critical examination. Now, I'm on a roll here, so watch out. People talked about peer review. That sounds great, but what I learned in the Dune Sagebrush Lizard is the five peer reviews that were done for that proposed rule, A, were anonymous, which doesn't really fit in this situation. Anonymous peer reviewing for publication, yes, but not for a proposed government rule. All five came from universities. Two of the five I identified, actually, after speaking to them on the phone as being the peer reviewers, they were authors of studies that were listed in the proposed rule as cited literature, not exactly independent. Two others of the other three came from departments at universities where there were either faculty or graduate students, authors. Studies.
So let me ask that. I mean, I would. You talked about public debate being important, and it seems like we've had a lot of public debate over this. But it sounds like the issue in your mind is who's refereeing the debate and who makes the decision ultimately.
I think that is the final requirement is that the decision maker be autonomous and independent.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes for both ways on this whole thing. I think this is good because this one's gotten a debate. What about the ones that haven't?
Right.
You know, there's a consent decree between Center for Biodiversity and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service for, I forget, hundreds, of, and I've heard different numbers, hundreds of species are going to be expedited through the listing process in the next few years. Well, is that really in the public's best interest?
So what you want to see is one of these administrative law judges taking over the overseeing of this process.
Yeah, and that doesn't have to be. And I'm not trying to advocate a particular solution to this. I'm really not. I don't claim to have that nailed down. But I think it's a debate we need to have. Maybe there's maybe real judiciary. Maybe not. I mean, because eventually this does move to the courts. It can move into the courts when there's a suit filed under the Administrative Procedures Act.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm willing to have listen to different ideas about how to do this. But I think we need to really need to have more critical examination and more of an independent decision maker.
We're talking with New Mexico Representative Dennis Kintai, District 57. Representative, in a lot of these things, they do not allow the financials of the decision to be part of the decision in any major way, or at least they don't discuss. Do you have a thought about that?
Well, I do. I think it's fundamentally a flawed approach. I mean, there is economic impact comes into the issue of habitat, and there's two parts to this. One is, is a species truly endangered? And two, how do you protect the habitat for that species? Because protecting habitat leads to protecting species. But if there is an economic impact, I mean, we have, you know, there's constitutional guarantees to you know, your right of property, Fifth Amendment, no seizure without due compensation. And I'm quoting the Constitution. I apologize
right.
for that. But that's an important concept. So if we do things that limit an ability of an individual to utilize the resources they own, either by purchase or lease, don't we owe them fair compensation? And I think that's an appropriate thing. I'm not ready to go to say that, you know, economics trumps everything, but I think you need to have a balanced examination. What is the cost and what is the benefit? And we don't even have that debate in the endangered species at all.
We've been talking with Dennis Kintai, District 57. Dennis, we really appreciate you take do all this work, and they give you a little compensation as far as little bit, but you do it basically for free. We appreciate what you've been doing for New Mexico, and hope you'll come back soon.
I'm glad to. And hey, I get to be on your radio show. What more could a man ask for?
There you go.
I can think of a few things.
This is so cool.
We are News New Mexico this hour. Heath Houselman, NMPolitics.net, is our special guest in studio. Jim Spence and myself, Michael Swicker, will be back after these messages. It is 18 minutes past the hour.
If you're a college student, you've most likely noticed that your school has a club for just about everything. Heck, there's probably even a juggling club. At Wells Fargo, we're with you when you wish there were a club to help you juggle your finances. Our College Combo account gives you a free checking account, savings account, and check card. Hey, we're not the wildest club on campus, just a really beneficial one. Call, click, or stop by today. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank N.A., member FDIC.
Do you know about the economic contributions of the five New Mexico horse racetracks? New Mexico racetracks contribute more than $63 million in gaming taxes to the state each year. Their gaming tax rate is three times higher than the rate paid by reservation casinos. Opening the door to new off-reservation casinos will severely reduce attendance at our tracks, and it will significantly reduce the revenue to the state and racing participants, along with breeding farms. Help us preserve horse racing and breeding. Say no to off-reservation casinos.
Jenkins, I need coordinates now!
Captain, 2 nautical miles and closing fast. This blip here is Sonic's new Kickin' Coney, a premium beef hot dog topped with chili and crispy onions.
Yes! And that's the bacon and blue dog with crispy bacon and blue cheese dressing. But what is this triangle that they're forming?
Sir, the toppings appear to be the perfect triangulation of saucy, melty, and crispy.
Are you sure?
Yes!
Ramming speed!
Introducing two new additions to Sonic's $1.99 premium beef hot dog family, the Kickin' Coney and the bacon and blue dog. For a limited time, only at participating Sonic drive-ins. See menu for details. This is how you Sonic.
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Super Checking
from Bank 34.
Open a Bank 34 Super Checking account today with only $50 minimum to open. No monthly service charge, free online banking, and free user-friendly bill pay. No fee use at 43,000 surcharge-free all-point network ATMs worldwide. And interest on balances $500 and above.
Stop in for more details.
Bank 34, 220 North Telcher Boulevard in Las Cruces and 500 10th Street in Alamogordo. Bank34online.com.
Member FDIC.
Hey, Jim, we're on break.
We are. Yeah, I did.
That's right. I said, let's go to break, and
there
we went
go.
To break. We're just sitting here. We're talking about Charlie Munger among ourselves. Among ourselves, he had six confidence-related tendencies that he wrote about in his book.
Yeah, he actually, I'm going to tie two together, one that's not actually on that list. One, the first one's called liking and loving, and the other one is called disliking and hating. Now, these are real simple concepts, but I'll go to the thinking errors after I describe them. The first one being liking and loving. He says, human beings will seek to be liked and loved and will tend to ignore the faults of those they love or the faults of those that love them. And that's counterintuitive sometimes, but usually intuitive. The idea being you're going to have a bias. You see biases with people towards their children. You'll see people ignore the faults of their
children. My child would not have done that.
And you'll see it in political parties. Oh, the Democrats.
A Democrat couldn't have done that.
A Republican stands for goodness and wholesomeness and could never engage in that kind of behavior. Those are biases.
This is a tendency that isn't good.
And the same thing applies on the other side, disliking, hating. Human beings are extremely prone to irrational dislike and hatred and will tend to ignore the virtues of those they hate. And you see this all the time in politics. And it's the anti-best practices concept that, Michael, that we're kind of fighting here on News New Mexico. It's the idea that you have to be very, very careful about the tendency to like and to ignore faults, or the tendency to hate and to ignore virtues, because those are thinking errors.
Okay, astronaut, you're up. You'll be meeting with Wish Kid Brandon.
Roger, Brandon.
His wish is to see a space shuttle launch.
All systems are go. We are clear for liftoff.
This year, more than 27,000 children will be diagnosed with a life-threatening medical condition.
And, cowboy?
Yes, ma'am.
You'll be meeting with Shayla at a dude ranch in San Antonio.
Let's saddle up.
Some will miss school. Some will miss time with their family and friends.
Princess, are you here?
Oh, yes. Thank you so much for rescuing me from that evil witch.
Juliana wishes for a princess-themed room makeover.
That sounds magical.
But with your help, the Make-A-Wish Foundation can lift their spirits and give them a special kind of hope.
Pirate.
Yar.
You're up for Isaac's wish.
Aye, aye, Captain.
The wishes of thousands of children are waiting to come true.
You can help make my wish happen. Visit wish.org today.
You're listening to News New Mexico, where New Mexico's business comes first.
I'm a politician, which means I'm a cheat and a liar. And when I'm not kissing babies, I'm stealing their lollipops.
We are News New Mexico for Tuesday, October 11th. Got Heath Houselman joining Jim Spence here in studio. I'm Michael Swickard, website newsnm.com. All right. The number one topic outside of straight policy is the effect of money on politics. Mm-hmm. It seems to be taxed enough already, the Tea Party, and then the Occupy people, they seem to be troubled by the amount of money. Yeah. What does money buy you?
Yeah.
And money seems to buy you your way.
I think that's absolutely. I've been having a lot of conversations in the last week about, I even posted on my Facebook page the question, what are the similarities and differences Occupy and Tea Party?
I got a lot of
discussion.
Stuff, yeah.
I do think that's one similarity. These are people who may be at ideologically opposite ends of the spectrum. They all agree that money has corrupted our political system. They may think it's in different ways or different people or different types of groups that have used money to corrupt it, but they all agree that money is a corrupting force and that it drowns out their voices in the political process.
And don't you think that basically anybody who is even remotely connected to objectivity is going to take a look at the American political system right now and say, in Washington, D.C., it doesn't matter whether it's Democrats in charge, Republicans in charge, or shared power, that the campaign dollars flowing from Wall Street to Washington is the biggest influence on public policy, and it is a corrupt connection.
Obama's economic advisors were Bush's economic advisors. You could argue that the people actually running Washington are the same people regardless of who we elect.
And Wall Street always gets preference.
And that those people are Wall Street people.
Let's go back and define corrupt.
Okay.
Do you know it when you see it, but you can't define it?
I think it is a little bit tricky to define. But in general, I think what our Constitution envisions is 100 senators, more than 400 representatives, a city council, whatever it is, getting in a room, debating an issue on the merits, and finding compromise. When we don't debate an issue on the merits, when a senator has to consider the fact that MoveOn.org helped elect them, or Exxon spent millions of dollars helping elect them, or anything in between in how they debate the issue, instead of just what's the best policy point, that is a corrupting influence on the process.
So Gary Johnson vetoes his wife's bill. Now, was that an aberration, or does that show that she didn't have the snap?
No, it was a prelude to divorce, by the way.
Oh yes. Yeah, it was a prelude to divorce, but overall, that's the kind of thing you would expect. Even if somebody has, they've been sponsored by Exxon, mm-hmm. and they feel that this is the right way to go, they have to vote that the correct way.
I would expect our elected officials to avoid conflicts of interest, be they personal or how their campaign was funded. I think that the ones about how your campaign is funded are more concerning to the American public, and we see it in the Democratic Party, the Republican Party. It's everywhere.
When we come back, you got to talk about media then.
Yes.
Because the media, when they find out Sarah Palin said it, has a completely different view than if, it seems to be situational as to how they scrutinize what's going on. Is the media corrupt? We're going to ask that question of Heath Houselman. We are News New Mexico. You can go to newsnm.com and follow along. We have podcasts. If you can't listen live, you can go back and get streaming or podcasts. It is 28 minutes past the hour. We will be right back.
New Mexico has rich reserves of natural gas and oil that benefit New Mexico in many ways. The oil and gas industry provides reliable energy that helps us to reduce our dependence on foreign oil. The industry also supports over 26,000 high-paying jobs. And get this, New Mexico's oil and gas industry pays over $6 million in taxes and other revenues to New Mexico's state and local governments every day. That was nearly $2.2 billion in 2010. These dollars pay for our teachers, build our public schools, and fund our universities. And communities across New Mexico benefit whether or not you have oil and gas in your area. With continued access to state, public, and private land, the oil and gas industry can continue to grow while protecting our environment for the benefit of New Mexico and the benefit of all of us. Learn more about New Mexico's oil and gas industry at www.nmoga.org.
Want someone to handle your screen printing and embroidering needs? That's the specialty at Sports Accessories. Whether you're looking to get your own team in uniforms or if you're looking for your favorite team's apparel, Sports Accessory has your back. Sports Accessories can also take care of any non-athletic screen printing and embroidering requests. It doesn't matter if you're looking for political t-shirts or something for your family, use Sports Accessories. Visit their website at sportsaccessories.biz. That's sportsaccessories, one word, .biz. Located in Las Cruces, Sports Accessories customers are nationwide, from as far west as the University of Hawaii in the Pacific to the East Coast at the University of Massachusetts. When it comes to screen printing and embroidering, you need to check out Sports Accessories. Call 575-526-2417 to speak to a screen printing and embroidering expert. The number again is 575-526-2417.
Hey, it's break time. I'm Michael Swickard. We got Jim Spence here, and I got nothing else to do. Maybe we should think and talk. So, Charlie Munger had some tendencies. There's one that's called excessive self-regard.
Yeah, that's.
I don't know that we should touch this.
No, I'm glad you and I don't suffer from excessive self-regard. Yeah. So he, what Munger does in the Poor Charlie's Almanac, which is basically his autobiography, is he talks about the 25 psychological human tendencies that he has observed, and the point here is thinking errors, cognitive mistakes that people make. And, one of the things that Munger and Buffett have done in combination is they've created the greatest, most successful investing machine in human history. And so
What these principles involve are, okay, this is how you can get in trouble. This is how you can make a thinking error. Well, excessive self-regard is probably the most fundamental. That would be, you could describe that a number of ways, Michael. You could call it overconfidence. You could call it
arrogance.
Arrogance, ego, whatever. Excessive self-regard. You see it, I think, most prominently in senators, believe it or not. There are only 100 senators. Presidents as well. But what's amazing, you see it in Hollywood stars. These tend to be people who are around people where they're just being the subject of adoration all the time. You see,
doesn't happen to me.
Yeah, it doesn't happen to me either. I get a great dose of humility from my spouse of 30 some years every night when I get home. But that actually hasn't cured my excessive self-regard anyway. But that is a huge, huge error. And Munger says, caution it in yourself and be wary, particularly when you see a management team where excessive self-regard is a problem.
Smoking a cigarette takes 11 minutes off your life. But what if each one stole 11 hours or 11 days? What if you lost more, a foot, a leg, even your life? You're saying, no way. Not so fast. See, smoking is one of the leading causes of peripheral arterial disease. Often called clogged arteries in the legs, PAD makes you up to 6 times more likely to die from heart disease or stroke. PAD is also the leading cause of foot or leg amputation. Symptoms can include cramping in your legs when you walk, but most people don't even know they have it. If you're over 50 and you smoke, put down the butt and pick up the phone. Talk to your doctor about getting tested for PAD. For more information and a free heart and soul kit, call 1-866-PAD-INFO or visit PADcoalition.org. A message from the Peripheral Arterial Disease Coalition.
You're listening to News New Mexico, where the search for best public policies and practices never ends.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, and I'm all out of bubblegum.
We are News New Mexico. Glad that you joined us. Since you're there, we get to be here. Jim Spence is here. I'm Michael Swicker. We have Heath Houselman. He is with nmpolitics.net, one of the great websites for politics. And we're talking about the corrupting influences. I believe that media leads the way with politicians.
Leads the way.
Because they can actually... Do you remember when you were in seventh grade and somebody else in the school was doing something you didn't think was right, and so you made fun of them?
Sure.
And that's how you actually controlled them, because you'd make fun of behavior you didn't think was right. The media has the ability to actually change the behavior of most of the politicians, because they get to turn the light on, but they choose not to. I would submit to you, NPR, which some people think is more liberal, is not really covering all of that Occupy stuff, right?
Right. They didn't at first.
They didn't at first.
Media didn't at first at all.
And the media wanted to stay completely away from it. If that had been the Tea Party doing it, do you think they would have stayed away from it?
I don't know. I think, and we were talking about this at the break, I think there are three corrupting, it's a three-headed dragon in Washington.
All right, so we got a three-headed dragon.
We've got the government, we've got the media, and we have these special interests that I would lump corporations in with, if not put at the top of that list. And the three together create a dysfunctional society in America that centers in Washington and New York. And if you want to put in all the big mainstream media, you can go all the way down to Atlanta to include CNN. But, you know, out there, and the common theme, I think, is corporate money. Even NPR now has corporate funders.
Sure.
And when Occupy Wall Street starts, not even NPR is covering them. One of the differences, I think, between the Occupy protests and the Tea Party, and it may not end up this way, but at this point, the Occupy protests are pretty disorganized. They're sort of leaderless. The Tea Party started out that way, but at some point, the Republican Party embraced the Tea Party, and generally speaking, the Tea Party said, we're okay with going in this direction. They are not officially part of the Republican Party, but the Republican Party has welcomed them in general, and so they've become a little more mainstream. Will that happen on the other side? Will the Democratic Party embrace the Occupy movement, and will they move into that circle? I don't know.
They have, actually. The DNC has now embraced that.
But I don't think you're going to see the president do it when they're opposing his economic advisors, for example.
Do you, you know, in looking at this, the commonality between the government, the media, and the special interests is the feeling you're either with us or against us.
Yeah.
There doesn't seem to be a lot of get us all inside the tent, get more people inside the tent. There seems to be a very exclusionary way of dealing with things. The government, you are either with the police or you are with the bad guys. There's no one who stands off to one side and watches. Same with most of your special interests. You're either with us or against us.
Yep.
Does that seem different in the last 10 years, or is it just me?
I think it's getting worse.
It seems a lot worse now than it has been.
We're in really polarized times. And you know, I believe that we could complain about the media, we could complain about the government, we could complain about special interest influence, and the problem is really us. We let it happen.
We've discovered the enemy. It's us.
We buy newspapers that put Britney Spears at the top story instead of local government news.
Yeah.
We elect officials like Jerome Block Jr., knowing that he probably had committed felonies before we voted for him.
Well, he didn't have a college degree.
And we vote for him anyway. And we say to corporations, you know, we're okay with a little bit of corruption as long as we can still afford to go to the movies on the weekend, eat out once in a while. You do what you want. It's okay. And we tolerate it. And I think you're seeing, at least in some part, I think the Tea Party is a very mixed group of people.
Do you think it's one party, or do you think it's actually a
bunch
of parties?
I think there are you know, some military industrial complex type people in the Tea Party
who are very
mainstream.
Very.
There are social conservatives who are sort of in the middle, and then there are true libertarians who I think are so far outside the mainstream, they almost come all the way around to a place where they could align with the Occupy people if they wanted to, not on a common end goal, but on an agreement on what the problem is and that we need to change the system.
So I had proposed, and it, with great fanfare, I mean, this, people are adopting this. This is spreading like wildfire. The 28th Amendment to the Constitution, which I don't think anybody's actually ever heard of. It's kind of being facetious there. And the idea would be, okay, and this will have to come from the people. Can't come from elected officials. The idea that if you are seeking, let's just start with the federal office. If you're wanting to run for the House of Representatives or the Senate or the President of the United States, you cannot take anything of value from anybody once you're announced, as I said, as a candidate. The reason being that this is the corrupting process, and there is a very, very difficult line that has to be drawn constitutionally. I think the courts have erred on the idea that, okay, well, where do you draw the line between speech and money? And they have erred on the side of speech, meaning sometimes money is converted and saying, well, because I have money and I want to give it to this candidate, that's my free speech.
Right.
And I think that issue ads are okay that don't mention candidates, but I think the way that you clean this up is you make it a competition of ideas where everybody has the same exact funding. I'm not normally somebody who says, well, I want the government to take this over, but I want a level playing field. And I think that everybody who understands that better ideas will be served by that, is that a bad idea?
No. And I'm not endorsing it either. But I think the courts, you know, since 1976, the courts have said money is speech. And I think with the Citizens United ruling, we're moving to a place where campaign finance regulation can either be total or not at all, except for disclosure. The court did endorse disclosure, but we don't know the answer to some of these questions yet, but it's possible because of Citizens United that campaign contribution limits are now unconstitutional. Any kind of restrictions on corporations giving donations, anything like that, may be tossed out in the end. And it may be in the end that we either have no restrictions but full disclosure on one extreme or full public financing in the other extreme as the only things that are legal.
And the other thing that's going on here that I want to throw in, since we've heard the word corporations tossed in a few times, and of course being a businessman, I always kind of get my back up when I hear corporations.
You know, I use the term, and I am the president of a corporation as well.
Well, and but what I wanted to add was is that that I think that it equally corrupting process, and I think that's where the Citizens United came in, was unions giving money, public, particularly public employee unions, giving money to politicians who are then going to sit across the table for them to negotiate for benefits and compensation. That is an inherent conflict of interest too, but I don't find fault with public employee unions who participate in the process. I don't even find fault, Heath, with the politicians who take money, because you know what? In order to be competitive, this is like steroids in athletics.
It's the system.
It is the system that is corrupt, and until you make it a no-no for someone seeking public office to be able to receive anything of value from anyone, you're not going to fix this problem.
Well, now, and you've covered for 10 years, you've covered the legislature, and in my time of being around it over about 40 years, I came to the conclusion, for the most part, there are some members of the New Mexico legislature that you cannot bribe. There just isn't any money. There isn't anything. There's nothing you could give them. There's nobody that can walk up and get their attention. Yeah. They are complete straight arrows.
Well, I will say I think that's true. Well, I have thought certain officials were ethical in the past and they disappointed. But well, in general, I think
that's Paul true. Like J. Paul Taylor. You know, J. Paul Taylor I've known a long time, okay. And I just had that feeling with him. Now, he's not in, so I can talk about it because he's not in.
Sure.
And I didn't think you'd wave anything at him. That he had his life in order. Mm-hmm. He had lived his whole life in one community, and you aren't waving anything in. There are some that they expect you to know that they have to have a quid pro quo, some grease to move the machinery, and they expect you to know this.
Right.
And they're kind of put out when you didn't know that. You know, like Bill Richardson, that you had to give $5,000 if you wanted to have a meeting with him. And if you're trying to have a meeting with him and he's trying to, you know, he's frustrated because you know you got to give him money.
You haven't got your copay in yet.
Well, you haven't got your copay. There you go.
Without endorsing your assertions about any specific politician, that is definitely true about some politicians in Santa Fe. And it's not even spoken. It's legal to buy us dinners. You want a meal with me, you're paying, and I'm drinking all the alcohol I want.
Right.
And it's never spoken. It's just this is what we do.
But the in-between position is people who have something where they can be moved. And it's hard for the public. This is where your reporting, this is where people's reporting, to see where all of a sudden they say, well, did you know he has a brother-in-law that works in that industry? And you go, oh, no wonder he's on. You know, this is the role of the media, is to catch those relationships. Yeah. Because a lot of them in the middle, you can't walk up and say, I got a $100 bill and why don't you vote this way? But if it turns out that their wife's cousin's brother's, you know, something or other, all of a sudden you get this vote where you look at it and you go, what's that guy doing?
Right.
So, Heath, you wrote a great column. I think it was yesterday it appeared on nmpolitics.net. Sunland Park mayor still doesn't get it.
Yeah.
We only got maybe about a minute and a half. What did you talk about? That was a very well-written column.
Well, this is a guy who admitted to getting drunk with some people who were doing business with the city at a restaurant and then signing contracts with them. In addition to all the other problems in Sunland Park, and we could go on and on about him, but he had initially said he was going to run for Congress, run against Steve Pierce, and then he backed out the other day. He officially said because of the bad media publicity, now's not the
time.
It's not the media publicity. It's your actions that led to the publicity. You know, take some responsibility for things. This is not, he said, it's not the proper time. It's never going to be the proper time for somebody like that to run for Congress.
One other thing, that Michael wrote a column about the absence of the legislature's action on congressional redistricting.
Right.
What do you make of them meeting for 19 days? And forget about the partisan stuff. Mm-hmm. That was fine. But to not even draw a line?
I think some of them want it to end up in court.
Yes. Do you think that Susanna should call them right back in?
I think we should have an independent redistricting commission like
that's
worth endorsed.
I'm with you there.
California has taken it out of the hands of the people who have a vested interest, and it's a better process because of it. We should look at that.
That's what Peter Wirth said, too, I think, more or less.
We are News New Mexico. We'll have more with Heath Houselman right after these messages. It is 46 minutes past the hour.
2009, New Mexico-based Mind That Bird shocked the sporting world, winning the Kentucky Derby. In the process, he drew worldwide attention to one of New Mexico's longest-standing industries. New Mexico horse racing and breeding have been the Land of Enchantment's primary breadwinner for more than 50 years. New Mexico bred Pepper's Pride holds the national record for thoroughbreds with 19 consecutive wins and enjoyed an undefeated career. New Mexico bred runners such as First Moon Flash, Rocky Gulch, and Bye Bye JJ have all made their mark on the sport in New Mexico. Over 2 million out-of-state visitors attend races each year, boosting the state's economy. Each year, racing and breeding contributes nearly $500 million to our state's economy. From Hobbs to Farmington and Albuquerque to Sumlin Park, racetracks and farms contribute millions of dollars in taxes to the state. Horse racing and breeding provide solid support to our way of life in New Mexico. The next time you read about, hear about, or watch a New Mexico horse race, we hope it serves as a reminder that the New Mexico Horse Breeders Association has always supported maintaining our agricultural heritage.
Thursdays are thundering at Sumlin Park Racetrack and Casino, where we're giving away $12,000 in cash. $12,000 every single Thursday. Each hand-paid jackpot of $500 or more gives you a shot at winning $2,000 during our 7 p.m. and 8 p.m. drawings, $3,000 during our 9 p.m. drawing, and the big prize of $5,000 at 10 p.m. So don't let thunderous Thursdays pass you by.
See Club Fiesta for details. Sumlin Park Racetrack and Casino supports responsible gaming. For help, call 1-800-572-1142.
Plus, don't miss Mariachi Metalachi Fest on Sunday, October 16th, starting at 2 p.m. We'll have food vendors and five mariachi bands. Then at 8 p.m., join us in Franklin's Lounge for Metalachi Heavy Metal Mariachi Style.
Breaking the law, breaking the law.
They're incredible, and you just gotta be here.
Vamanos!
Admission is free. Take I-10 to Sumlin Park Exit 13.
All right, we're in break. Is this mic on? Yeah, I think it's on. Okay, well, we're on the break, and Jim Spence is here, and we're talking about Charlie Munger, and we're talking about... Well, when human beings are doing well over short and intermediate periods of time, there can be over-optimism as a human tendency.
Yeah, it's a great observation by Charlie Munger. This is a guy who basically calls himself an amateur psychologist, but he's actually one of the most brilliant thinkers that I know of. This is a guy who's in his mid-80s now. He's probably the guy who had the greatest influence on Warren Buffett of anybody on the planet. I think if you ask Buffett, he would tell you that there's nobody who has helped his thinking processes more than Charlie Munger, which that makes him an automatic for me to study in my profession as an investor. What he basically talking about with over-optimism, he says basically when things are going well over short periods of time, you'll see over-optimism. This explains the housing bubble, Michael. This explains investment bankers all levering 35 to 1, borrowing 35 times as much as they have in equity to buy mortgage securities because they're so optimistic that they can make high rates of return on spreads, those sort of things. You see it in the stock market sometimes, these out-of-control, right? You haven't seen it for 10 years, but that's the definition of a rising real estate market. This explains these real estate bubbles where you see literally multiple competing bids on houses for sale.
That don't make sense
in some ways. It doesn't make sense. And here we are right now. We're in the middle of this housing crunch, and it's been prolonged maybe two and a half years
in running. We're throwing stimulus money.
Yeah. And the point being is how did we create the bubble? How did we create a bubble? It all goes back to the human tendency of over-optimism after success comes in a short period of time.
Kids have the craziest ideas about food. Where do they get this stuff? Like eating Brussels sprouts helps you hit home runs. And eating carrots gives you X-ray vision. It's nuts. And I honestly have no idea where my daughter got this notion that broccoli is the official food of professional ballerinas. Kids, the only reason my 4-year-old loves cantaloupe is because he's convinced it comes from the moon.
One small step for man, lots of potassium for mankind.
And the other day when my oldest came up to me and said, Mom, will eating peas and carrots really help me pull off a fakie frontside ollie with a twist? I look him in the eye and say, it can't hurt, honey. It can't hurt.
Moms everywhere are finding creative ways to help their kids eat 5 servings of fruit and vegetables a day. Get ideas, get involved, get going at letsmove.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to News New Mexico, where we are in the business to help New Mexico businesses.
Can we eat now, or do we have to wait till the argument's over?
No. Gotta wait till that.
Gotta wait.
It's News New Mexico, and Jim Spence here. I'm Michael Swickard. We have Heath Houselman here talking. He has a politics blog called NEMPolitics.net. He started it 5 years ago, wasn't it?
Almost six.
6 years ago in March.
Yep.
And I have followed it and actually been a columnist on it for about 4 of those years.
Right.
So, Heath, we do a lot of news and a lot of commentary on energy policy on this show because energy policy is something that we feel like energy is like the food. If the economy of the state and the economy of the nation is like a body, we feel like energy is the food.
Okay.
And of course, I think the big friction point on energy policy is the question of climate change and global warming versus, basically more reasonably priced energy. That seems to be the friction point. There are a lot of people out there, Al Gore being the primary one, who say the science is settled on climate change and global warming. We posted a story about a Dr. Ivar Giaviver. I'm butchering the pronunciation of that name. Mm-hmm. He is a Nobel Prize-winning physicist who basically walked away from the American Physical Society and said basically he was disgusted over their officially stated policy that global warming is occurring.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of that? Is it settled? Is the science settled?
I don't think throughout history there are minority voices in opinions about scientific theories. In this case, there is a vast, vast majority who believe that the science, maybe not that the science is settled, but that they believe global warming is happening and that it is man-caused, and that's an opinion. I don't think you can discount the vast majority, and throughout history, the vast majority is usually right, but not always right. I'm not a scientist, and I haven't lived thousands of years to actually live through everything I just talked about. But I think, and we're in a little bit different time in that politics does on both sides try to co-opt scientists more than probably has happened in history. And I don't think it just happens on the left. I think that happens all over the place. In fact, we were talking earlier about the corrupting influence of money in politics. What about the corrupting influence of money when, for example, pharmaceutical companies are paying scientists to say that their drugs are safe? So I think we're having one of the most political scientific debates right now that we've probably ever had in human history. And I'm not going to make a definitive statement either way, but I don't think you can ignore that the vast majority have an opinion, but I also think it would be foolish to ignore the minority opinion.
So you've definitely taken the lead with technology. What did the death of Steve Jobs, did that have any effect on you?
I have an iPhone.
Yeah. You don't have an iPad.
I have
yet.
An iMac at my house. I'm in the process of converting my computers over. He was the Henry Ford of our time, I think. And let's bring things full circle. We're talking earlier about Occupy Wall Street and the Tea Parties, and I said something to the effect of, people need to stand up if we don't like the government we have, if we don't have the media we have. We only have them because we allow them. The mechanism for people standing up right now, whether it's Occupy Wall Street or Tea Parties or protesters in the Middle East, is social media, is Facebook, is Twitter. I'm not going to say Steve Jobs is fully responsible for those things, but he was the visionary who moved us in a direction that allowed other visionaries to step in, and collectively they created this climate where we're closer to real democracy in this world than we've ever been. People can organize and drown out the voice of corporate media or money in politics or the government if they really want to.
One of the great things I've said just right after his death, I think last week, was that the greatest thing about the Steve Jobs legacy, and there's a lot of great things to point to, is that as a capitalist, and he was a capitalist,
yes.
Was that he always put the customer first. What he conceived everything out of what the customer would love, mm-hmm. what the customer would find utility in. But then he was not bashful about charging a premium for his product. And I think that sometimes it gets clouded over that when someone like Steve Jobs or a company like Apple is able to deliver such a phenomenal product, they are entitled to a healthy profit margin.
Well, I think he was rare in his focus on putting the customer first. I'm not saying, you know, any good corporation should do that, but some corporations do that better than others. Others look at on the other extreme, corporations are looking at the profit line at the expense of customers, and their business is probably not going to last very long.
Right.
Unless they have taken control of the government and subsidies keep them afloat, which you could argue with the biggest banks, the biggest all sorts of companies, that's happened.
And wouldn't you say that the thing that is most irritating about corporate America is when they try to use the tools of government to shelter them from competition?
Yeah. This philosophy of too big to fail. It would destroy the American economy if you failed. That would be bad for all of us, so we're not going to let you fail. There's no more competition then.
So there's one story that we haven't gotten to that I think is a bit of a contradiction and almost counterintuitive.
Fast and Furious.
No, that's it. It's the story about gas prices in Albuquerque. It was posted on KOB's website.
Lowest in the nation.
Yeah, the lowest in the nation. And the explanation for why gas prices were so low in Albuquerque was that the market was dominated by large companies rather than small mom and pops. Now, wait a second. Large companies are delivering lower gas prices to the consumer in Albuquerque. Can we reconcile that with corporate greed?
Walmart delivers the lowest prices in the country on groceries, clothes, whatever.
So what does corporate greed mean, Heath?
Well, I think, when you're talking about what the Occupy Wall Street protesters would call the 99% and their grievances, mm-hmm. it's can you deliver the lowest gas prices without us subsidizing you to the tune of billions of dollars? You know,
that's
the rub. Is you're not really providing the lowest price because we're just paying it in tax dollars instead of at the checkout.
Yeah, my column this week is about what is poverty, what is wealth, because I have a feeling we can't agree. We all have kind of approximate view of it, but.
Right.
But we don't.
That's all relative to our own experiences,
right.
I think.
What do you make of the Justice Department? And this story came out a few months back, looking at Apple for the purpose of antitrust because they were trying to dominate the mobile phone technology.
I think there's a lot of competition in mobile phone technology.
I do too.
And I think it's good for us. We are News New Mexico. Heath Houseman, nmpolitics.net, great website. And we appreciate you coming and sitting with us.
I'm happy to be here.
And you can go to newsnm.com. You can get our podcast streaming. You can send us feedback. We have a lot of our stories posted there. We are News New Mexico.